Today on the interview, we talk with Jacob Anderson about the upcoming multiplayer online game Heroes and Generals. Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Interview with Q. I'm your host, Q. This week we're talking with Jacob Anderson about the all-new game Heroes and Generals. Welcome to the interview.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you for being on with us.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
So, you guys are working on this brand new game, but before we get started actually talking about the game, if you don't mind, could you give us kind of a history of the your guys' studio?
Yeah, we are an independent studio located in Copenhagen. We have been running for a few years now, building it up from the bottom. Most of the guys here have been involved in the creation of the Hitman franchise and the Freedom Fighters games for IR Interactive, which was released by Eidos. And have most of us have a long history in games creation. And we just thought that it would a few years ago it would be nice to try and do something different than the usual console type games, and want to get into this online marketplace that for us offers some more exciting ways to work with games.
Sure. So you guys are a team kind of coming out of another studio and creating your own, just to kind of get started independently.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, awesome. So is this you guys' first release as a studio?
Yes, you'd say that. Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
Okay. All right, so Heroes and Generals is it's a multiplayer online game. It's kind of a combination, at least from what I've seen, of FPS and RTS. But if you, why don't you kind of, you're probably way better off suited in explaining what it is. Can you kind of give our or listeners kind of what it is overall?
Well, Heroes and Generals is first and foremost a team-based first-person shooter, combat game, where you can play as a soldier and you can drive tanks and fly airplanes and all that stuff you know from games like Battlefield and Call of Duty. We've put a lot of emphasis on like team play, which we think there's a little bit of a lack in the market of really good like team play games like this. But the premise of the game is that it's a first person shooter action game. On top of that, we have a what you would call a strategic game. It's not to be said as we're not trying to combine two different genres of games. Like we're not trying to do a real time strategy game on top of an action game alongside it. It's you should see it as an extension of the action game. It's where the action game makes sense. Instead of you have instances where you just battle out and you record your individual statistics and you rank up, and then on to the next battle, we tie together all the different battles into a huge campaign. So you have a meta game on lay on top of the action game. So, which is why we say that it actually makes sense what you do in each action game. If you win or lose, that actually makes a difference in the grand war, and that's sort of like the premise of it. It's more like the strategic game is an extension for advanced action players who want to do more than just run around and shoot. The game is web based in the sense that it's the strategic part and the whole preparation of battles and equipment preparations and all that stuff is runs in the web browser, and the action game is also delivered via the web browser, which means that the updates and for example new graphics or new level parts will be streamed from the server via the web browser. So it's a it's not 100% web browser based, but it's like, what do you say, 50% based on a web browser. The actual action game runs obviously on a client, because you would get way better performance on a 3D game than running it through the browser. It makes no sense. You need to download the whole code anyway. So that's the I guess that's the rough outline of the sure. game. I'm trying to make it simple, because it is a very simple game. It just has a lot of possibilities.
Yeah, it sounds really cool, because it would seem and feels like it would be an actual war you're fighting in, because the strategy aspect, and like you said, the individual battles that you fight make a difference. So it seems like what you guys have created is a real war simulator, not just a first-person shooting simulator, but a simulator that kind of almost simulates the whole war instead of just the individual battles.
That's true. And it's on the same time, we're trying to make it as easily accessible as possible, which is kind of like that's maybe the hard part of doing this type of game is to have it easily accessible, so you can actually just jump in and run around and play it without having to worry too much about the complicated strategy part behind it. That's why we it's sort of like a more loosely based strategy part. It's not that you would not lock down your individual soldiers in certain areas of the map, for example, because then you would probably never be able to play the soldier because you'd just be stuck guarding something somewhere. So we take a certain degree of liberty in that area. But only with the purpose of actually making it fun to play.
So, and as far as like the setting goes, this is a World War II setting, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It is. Okay. So you're fighting across Europe in World War II, and
we picked the Northern Europe, Northern Western Europe as our starting point. Because that's sort of like a well-known part of the war, mm-hmm. and where you can introduce American soldiers to the battlefield, and so we thought that was, and obviously time-wise we chose to go pretty late, because that's where the most interesting equipment was available. So that's we were sort of like working a little bit backwards here. We're starting out with the Tiger tanks and the cool machine guns, and then we go backwards and introducing the like earlier and earlier equipment, and then that should tie into the progression at some point.
So you guys are going to have obviously the battles that you can jump into and help out your team and your and the war itself. Is there going to be times when the wars actually end and reset, or are you just going to kind of have a continued war?
Right now, we have a strategy game that is fairly imbalanced, so the war ends very quickly. If you are up against some of our players, are really good at figuring out how to play the strategy game, so you can't go. It will have, well, it will last in, right now, I think, 1 or 2 days for a war. Mm-hmm. We would obviously like to get that extended into a longer period. But that requires some more tweaking of the game, and obviously more features that we're working on. But I'd say that it makes sense to have a goal in the game and not just one continuously long campaign, because then you sort of like lose the initiative or the incentive to actually do something, because then it doesn't really matter in the end. If the war just goes on and on and on, then obviously it doesn't really have any effect what you do. So we need to have a win criteria. We need to have the possibility for each side to actually win the war and start over. And then in that way, it's also good, because the commanders and the guys that are more interested in the actual strategic part of the game can try out different tactics and different strategies. And so I think that's a good thing.
Okay, cool. So the people that are kind of playing with the strategic side of it, and then obviously the people that are hardcore gamers that want to do both, are they going to be able to affect the gameplay for the first-person shooters? Are they going to be able to help out with them and stuff?
Yeah. It's obviously it's again it's a balancing thing. The actual game design is deliberately imbalanced. because you need to do that. You need to have as commanders setting up defenses if they want to make sure that the attackers don't break through in a certain area. And the attacking commanders, their job is actually to probe and find weaknesses in the defense line and then attack there where they have the advantage, which is that the whole essence of finding the imbalances in the game. We're taking certain measures to make sure that it's not getting too imbalanced, and it's possible for the underdog to actually recover from an attack that's overwhelming, which is done by moving resources and moving, for example, new tanks into a battle where they're needed. And so you can actually you can move soldiers and tanks and planes in and out of ongoing battles to try and tip the scales, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
On top of that, the commanders have the possibility of configuring the we call them assault teams, but in reality they're small battle groups, and they can mix and match what they think would be a good attack strategy. For example, if you have you would see that one town is defended by tanks, for example, then it makes sense to try and counter it with some anti-tank infantry, for example. So there's some strategy in it or some tactics in it for the commanders to actually try and counter what the enemy is putting up with, and he can do that by choosing what to attack with.
So working with the people that are playing both FPS, and then of course the commanders and those playing the strategic version, having them work together is kind of key, because then you have the commanders setting up that strategy aspect of it, and then the players kind of carrying it out, the playing FPS.
Yeah, that's true. Obviously, the strategy players, whenever they initiate a battle, that battle will be solved on our war server, so it's like server side solving. That takes place of the actual battle until enough human players have joined to sort of like take over the solving of the battle, and that's where it gets really interesting, because that's where you can make a big difference as a human player, because the war solver is purely based on statistics and how many men do you move to a battlefield. And if you are good if you're a good commander and can sort of like assemble a team of skilled players, you will definitely have an advantage by just being good at playing the game.
Cool.
That part of the game should appeal a lot to like people who like to play in clans and stuff like that.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be perfect for getting people together and having squads and stuff.
Exactly.
And as far as the first-person shooting gameplay goes, is there going to be different classes of people you can use as far as infantry and stuff goes?
Yeah, we have a sort of like a little bit of a loosely based class system. We don't have a class that's called, for example, machine gunner. We have a class that's army infantryman, and that figure will be able to join in any infantry as assault teams, and the players can sort of like configure him the way they like. If they want to join in with a rifle, that's okay. If they want to join in with a submachine gun, that they can do that. If they want to join with the machine gun, for example, then they can equip the machine gun on their character. And if there's a machine gun slot free when they join the battle, obviously they can join that slot. We have to put in a few restrictions to not skew the balance totally. Everybody knows that machine guns are more powerful than a rifle, so there will be a limit on the most powerful weapons per squad, if you say so.
Sure.
But the players can. It's not that they don't need two characters to be able to play rifleman and machine gunner. They can have one character, and it's just a selection of weapons and equipment. They can re-equip the character.
Cool. So, and kind of to go along with that, are you going to be able to, I don't know if you would call it level up, but I mean, like, are you going to be able to better your character by different?
Yeah, exactly. You. There's several layers of sorry, what you would call leveling up. We have first and foremost just our basic statistics, that your skills. What you shoot 10 times, and then you get your like a little ribbon for shooting the rifle 10 times, and when you've shot it 20 times, you get a little star on the ribbon, and that sort of like indicates how good you are at one particular thing in the action game. These different ribbons in combination, they earn the player something we call combat badges, which is sort of like a perk, where you get a badge for maybe shooting the bazooka and driving a car or whatever, and in combination they do that, they give you a combat badge that when you wear that badge in battle, you are slightly better at something. When you hop into a tank, for example, you have your tanker badge on, then the tank will start slightly faster, for example. So it gives the player a little bit of an advantage of when he uses those badges. Obviously, the badges, the number of badges that you can wear are very limited, and a normal player will only be able to wear one, and advanced players will have the possibility later to wear two badges at the same time, so they can combine it with the, for example, a particular weapon that they choose. So it's not, you're not going to get into the overpowered super player where he just wears everything. You have to sort of make your decision of what kind of playing style that you want to use your character for. On top of that, we have a ranking system, which is more commonly known as like it should reflect sort of like what level are you if you compare to an MMO type game. It's just purely a combination of your other stats, releasing experience points, and then you just level up through the ranks of the soldier classes, or the soldier from being a private to the I think it's the captain or something that we have as the highest commanding or the highest action rank as we have it now. The characters we stopped the rank fairly low, because it doesn't make sense for us when we have a strategic part as well to have a field marshal or something running around with a machine gun on the battlefield. So we stopped the ranking fairly low, I'd say about the first sergeant or something like that, to make it more realistic. If you want to go higher in rank, you will need to convert your character into commander and start using him as on the strategic part of the game. I think that there's been great discussions about this stuff, and it's something that it's a bit dangerous for us to go into this area, because usually when you see it from when you see all other war games, players seem to be used to having like 80 or 100 levels to level up through, and we're going to present them with 10 in the beginning. Because there simply aren't more levels, more ranks in the army, and we would like to keep that kind of realism that we're not gonna invent new ranks, new military ranks, just for the sake of having more levels. We're just gonna try and then present it in another way. And another note is that the rank system also is directly tied to our income system, where you actually, as you play the game, you earn credits in the game, and the rank gives you it's as it would be as it is in a regular army. It's also a pay grade type system, where the higher rank you are, the more money you actually earn from battles. So we use that as well as a key element. More experienced players will earn more credits. On top of that, we have another functionality that you as a commander of the assault teams can raise the minimum level that you want to have. If you have an assault squad of like six players, you want to attack something, and you say this is important for me as a commander that I actually win this battle, then you would be able to increase the minimum rank of those six spawn slots. Say I need only sergeants here in my assault team, but that as a commander would actually cost you the salary of those six sergeants. So we have sort of like a balance. If you want to up power your assault squad, you also have to pay the salary of the players playing.
That's really
both ways.
Yeah, that's really cool. There's a lot of interesting little things in there that sound really exciting and make it seem more realistic. Let's see. I had another question on the tip of my tongue, and I can't remember what it was, to be honest. So as far as the cost goes, I mean, I've looked up on your site. Are you guys going to be using like a free-to-play type model?
Yes, we are definitely going into a free-to-play type game. But obviously, we are very focused on the trying to avoid the usual criticism you would get from free to play, is that it's like a pay to win type system. So that's why we're very focused on all this stuff with the pay grades on ranks and good players earning more and all that stuff. So we put a lot of effort into rewarding good players.
Cool. So essentially, like the free to play, would that be to earn in game money per se to add on to perks and for weapons and stuff like that?
Yes, that's true. You should be able to play the game fairly far on a free to play basis, where you jump in, you run around, you shoot, and you earn your credits, and you can buy new equipment and modify your weapon, and you can do all sorts of things. Obviously, you cannot do everything for free. You have to, if you want to play the game as a completely free to play player, where you never put in a cent, then obviously you would have to sort of like choose a very narrow path. I will only be a sniper guy. I will only be the tank guy, whatever. So and I think that's fair. I think it's. Mm-hmm. We're not just, obviously we need to make money on the game as well, so we're not just going to give everything away, but definitely we see a value in free players actually playing our game, because that adds value to the other players as well as somebody to play with. So we're trying to sort of like see if we can change the free to play model a bit into more like a social, we call it like a social free to play thing, where you can see the benefits of the paying players can see benefits of maybe using the free to play players for certain things. There's lots of suggestions on how to try and make that bridge that gap between the two. Obviously, there's two types of players here.
Sure, that's cool. I mean, I do like the free to play model a lot. It works well for a lot of different things. And I think it'll work really cool for this, because then you'll have people that'll be playing it, and then once they get to the point where they want to be able to pay for it and get the extra stuff, they'll be able to. And then also the players that are paying for the extra stuff will have more infantry and more people that are playing the game to get involved with the game, anyways.
Yeah, and one thing I'm really happy with that we're working on is the social aspect of it, that you actually a lot of the stuff that you can buy actually benefits other players. So you don't always just buy stuff for yourself, you buy it for your team, which makes a huge difference in how it's perceived as being a pay-to-win type game. You can almost see it like it's a clan might go in and pool some money and buy an assault team, and then they'll set the ranking so they can play together. Which I would assume they would think that that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really inventive and really cool to me. I remembered what my other question was going to be. Okay. Finally, I was sitting here trying to remember, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget again. As far as the FPS, the battles and stuff go, how many players are you going to be on each team? Like in I don't know what you'd call it, in a room or whatever, in a specific battle.
Specific battle. Right now we have 12 versus 12. We have tested the game with far more players, like 64 players or something at the same time. But we're increasing this slowly to keep hand with the server performance and all that stuff. So it's definitely something where we would, I think, the somewhere between 48 and 64.
So you guys are planning on having a large amount of players in it at the same time, which is really cool to make it feel a lot more like a battle.
Yeah, and that's where these assault teams comes into play, because the assault teams actually works as small squads in the game. So we have naturally divided the players into small groups in the first place, and not just everybody just spawning in a huge pile and doing what they like. So that should give, as I said before, we were very focused on having the team play work, so that people are idle. It's more fun to play these types of games when you work as a group. So we're not just optimizing to get as many riflemen in as absolutely possible. We also have another thing, is that each player puts a different load on the action servers in regard to what type of equipment they're using. For example, a foot soldier is puts a moderate load on the server, and a tank puts a heavy load on the server because it has a lot more physics involved with the tracks and everything, and the shooting and stuff. And an airplane, for example, is very light. So we, in theory, we could have a lot of fighter pilots and very few tanks. so it's hard for us to set like a hard limit. That's why we're just slowly scaling up and testing when is the combination of different vehicles gonna break the game.
Sure.
But everybody is obviously in the community is asking for the Battle of Kursk and the big tank battle. That seems to be what everybody was would like to see in the game.
So you just mentioned tanks. You're going to have vehicles, obviously, but is tank the primary, or is there going to be other secondary vehicles or whatever?
We have a lot of obviously, if you've seen the videos, we have bicycles in the game for transportation. We also have like the jeeps and another interesting thing, we have half tracks, which play actually a vital role in the, it's called a mechanized infantry assault team. The way the half track works is it's sort of like a mobile spawn point. You only have one of them, but it gives you a if you know how to use it, a fairly huge advantage in the game. In fact, that you can actually drive it to where you want to spawn from it. So we're trying to make use of vehicles that are usually in a typical first person shooter type war game. There's a lot of the vehicles that doesn't really make any sense. For example, the small tanks are just small and not powerful, and the big tanks are usually very powerful and will knock out anything that comes in their path. We have put a lot of emphasis into making sure that the tank destroyer tanks are like the Hellcat we have in right now. The American Hellcat is a light tank that doesn't weigh too much. It has a fairly big cannon and it drives very fast, so if you know how to control the tank killer, you can easily take out a Tiger tanks by just outmaneuvering it before you shoot. So all sorts of considerations goes into the game, that you actually want to use the different vehicles the way they were actually intended.
Cool. Well, it sounds like you guys have put a lot of thought and a lot of work into the game. It sounds really cool, and I'm really, really looking forward to watching it grow and seeing the community build around it. I mean, I know you guys are in, are you guys in open beta right now, or is it a closed beta?
No, we're still in a closed beta.
Okay, you're in a closed beta, yeah. So, but I know that
right now we sorry.
Oh no! I was just gonna say that I have seen some of the community stuff around on you guys' site, I believe, and it looks like you guys are having a really cool, good response already, just with what you've done so far.
Yeah. We're trying to. That's another thing. We're trying to involve the community as much as possible. The players giving us hints about this is good and this is bad, and some of them come with suggestions, and just having a live audience to respond on the game and comment on it is really helps us tweak the game. And it sounds corny, but we are trying to make the game that the players want to play, because that makes sense for us as well. So obviously all of us have backgrounds in traditional gaming creation, where we made the Xbox and PlayStation games, and what you usually end up doing in that area is to create a game that you think the gamers would like, and if they don't particularly like it, you have to back it up with a huge pile of marketing just to make them believe that they want the game. And that's kind of like a bit of a letdown if you want to make a cool game that people actually like, is that you're not sure you get the response when it's way too late. When the game is finished, then you get the response if the people like the game or not. And here we have the opportunity to actually let the players play the game way, way, way early, so we can change stuff, we can tweak the game so we create the game that they actually want to play. I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things about independent game developing, because you can have the community and get feedback from the community, and you're able to change what you decide that you don't want to have in it, or you're able to listen to feedback and get things changed. Whereas with the larger scale studios and the bigger developers, like you said, they kind of make the game and market it and hope that everybody likes it.
Yeah, and for me, as usually, I've done like four Hitman games, and usually you release the game, and then you get the criticism, and you can't do anything about it. Then you can try and catch up on that criticism for the sequel, but that's still not really good enough. It would be nice if you could actually change the game that you put out into something that's better.
Right. So it sounds great, and like I said, I'm really looking forward to everybody once you guys get it all set and you're all done your beta testing and you get it ready to release. I really know everybody's gonna enjoy it. I've seen a lot of stuff footage for it, and I've actually played it a little bit, so I really like it.
That's cool. Thanks.
It's a lot of fun, and I look forward to see where it can go and what you guys do with it. And where can the listeners go to get more information on the game?
They can go to www.heroesandgenerals.com, and from there on you will be able to access both our community site and the wiki, and you can sign up for a beta key and hopefully get into the game. We think right now we're into a circulation where we were fairly quick on opening up for more players. Okay. So it's not that. Hopefully you shouldn't be sitting around waiting for too long for the alpha for the beta keys. But again, for us it's controlled scalability. We're making a huge thing with these online games is obviously scalability, and can the servers can they take the load? So that's why we want to be in some sort of control of how many players is coming in. But obviously our next goal is to go towards an open beta where we just set it free and let everybody join.
Cool. So thank you very much for coming on and talking with us about this awesome looking game. You guys are doing an excellent job with it so far, and I'm really looking forward to the release and everything that you guys have planned for in the future.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks again for being on.
Thank you for taking time to speak to us. I'll get back to work now.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the interview with Q. Remember to check back every Thursday for more interviews with the developers of your favorite games. For more information on this week's game, you can go to www.heroesandgenerals.com. The interview with Q is brought to you by BagoGames.com, your source for all of the latest news, reviews, previews, and any information on game you could possibly want. Check us out online at BagoGames.com. That's BagoGames.com. Thanks again for listening, and remember to check us out next week on the interview with Q. I'm your host, Q, signing off.